This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, and together with me, Ti Xiao Ik. So before the break, we spoke about the impact of light pollution on our ecosystem and what are some of the things that we can do to perhaps reduce that. Mm-hmm. And if you did miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast on bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app or on Spotify. Now on to our second story for the day, for which we have a Twitter poll going.
Yes, and we're asking you, you know, with children learning from home while schools are shut, parents end up becoming quite involved in this process. So what is your opinion on how parents are behaving during kids' virtual classes? So far, 66.3% of you say that parents are doing their best, which is true. 31.3% of you say better etiquette, please. Only 2.5% of you say that parents are behaving well. So keep those votes coming in at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. So, you know, last week, a teacher wrote into Slate, and that's the online media portal. They have a parenting advice column, and this teacher wrote to ask, how can I effectively get parents to please stop telling their children the answers on Zoom? And this clearly frustrated teacher spelled out their concerns, you know, and wrote that when your child is in class or online class, and the teacher is asking questions, it is not okay to whisper the answers to them. And this teacher said that even though they've mentioned this to parents in whole group meetings, even writing their messages in the emails, in their newsletters, it's still not having an impact. And the teacher has had to resort to muting some of the parents who were yelling out the answers and all the kids in class can hear it, you know? And actually, I think this scenario is being replicated in homes almost everywhere around the world and definitely right here in Malaysia.
Yes. So, I mean, just a little bit of context to all this, right? All schools and kindergartens were shut during the movement control order from March to June. Mm-hmm. So we already had a pretty good idea of how this was going to pan out. And this really affected 4.9 million children in schools and 1.2 million students in higher education institutions. And then in June and July, our schools were reopened in stages. But now, of course, many schools are shut again in this third wave that we're seeing. Mm-hmm. So, for example, schools in Klang Valley, in Putrajaya, in Sabah, Labuan, and as of yesterday, Seremban, are all closed under the conditional MCO. And schools in red zones will also be closed when it's deemed necessary, such as in JB.
Yeah, so what's happened is that schools had to move to e-learning using online platforms like Zoom, Google Classroom, WebEx and such, right? Unfortunately, from what we hear anecdotally, delivery has not been very consistent. It really depends on each individual school and the teacher's capacity and resources. Obviously, the private and international schools have more resources at their disposal and they were able to pivot more easily to online learning. For government schools, though, the Ministry of Education did make an effort. They implemented various programs and initiatives to help the vast number of teachers and students across the country. You know, things like providing educational video content or providing content through RTM's channels as well for parents, households who don't have smart devices.
Now, I have not had to deal with this personally. I don't have children. But from what I've been hearing from my friends, from you, and I know some of our other colleagues here in the office and what I'm seeing on social media, families are struggling with this homeschooling. So like you said, the access to the technology itself is a problem, right? Not everyone has multiple computers at home. Parents are also working from home, and so they have to figure out how to share their computer or their other devices with their kids. And parents who can't work from home are facing issues with childcare, you know, because their kids might have to skip these lessons entirely. This disrupts their education, and they end up being left behind when schools do reopen again. And, you know, really overnight, parents have had to become their children's teachers, you know, and probably developed a newfound respect for what their teachers have been putting up with.
Absolutely, definitely. And the reality is that, you know, even if you do have the hardware at home, it's still not a smooth process. The actual experience of the lesson is really rocky, to say the least. Even things like occasionally you have patchy Wi-Fi, poor audio and video quality, kids can't hear what the teacher is saying. Teachers can't hear because all the kids are talking at the same time. Kids have to share the devices, like you said, and sometimes the schedules of the lessons may even clash.
Yeah, and not to mention the fact that parents are also juggling their own work, right? And they have their own online meetings, and there's also household chores. Yeah. And there are other distractions at home, other children maybe, or other family members moving around. And basically, everybody is just frustrated and handling these online lessons in their own different ways.
Yeah, so I just wanted to very quickly quote a New York Times article which talked about how some parents have become reluctant helicopters. Mm. You know, we have to hover, we have to help the kids, we have to poke them when their attention wanders, we have to, you know, tell them to speak into the camera, stop fidgeting, mute yourself when you're not using. So all these kinds
of... sounds like so many things to do.
Yes, and at the same time, we're, like you said, multitasking with juggling our work, you know. So how do we effectively support our kids during this period without turning into mom or dadzilla in the process?
Yeah, so to get the lowdown on that, we have on the line Eileen Ho, who's an educator who has been providing online English classes for a private center during this period. Hi Eileen, welcome to the show. So first off, what have you observed of parents' behaviors and actions during their children's online classes?
So parents are very, very supportive. I do see that. And at the same time, they are very enthusiastic with being part of the child's learning journey at home. So what I've seen is that when the teachers are online, providing directions or asking the child questions, I've seen this before where the dad is on the child's side and the mom is on the other side, and when the child is wants to say the answers, and the child is very excited, and then I do see the parents even more excited. So what I've seen is that the dad is the one repeating the questions, and the mom repeated the questions. So I can imagine the poor child having the teacher in front of her online, and with one parent on each side repeating the questions over and over to her. So that's one of it. The other one would be parents adding their version of questions. I've seen them expanding questions and providing some answers. And in between, they would add in assumptions and advice. And later on, it turns into a bit of a naggy conversations with the child. Some of the other examples would also be children watching screens, switching screens in between, playing online games such as Minecraft, and when the parent happens to walk past at the back, and you know, there goes another session where the parent had to mute the session and actually speak to the child about it. And we've had a case where the teachers actually had to jump on a call with the parent privately to just attend to such matters. And of course, some of the funny moments we've seen daddies walking in the background without their shirts on. So that's when we also had to, you know, have a conversation on the side and advise the parents. And most of the time, because it's their home environment, they're very comfortable, and they sometimes forget that the child is online.
And how do all of these affect the kids' learning experience?
It's very different. I would say that because when the children are in the classroom, the environment is such that the child can be independent thinkers. They very much have their own personalities, which you can see a lot. They give their all in the classroom. But when they are at home, they are within their comfort zone. So this is when you actually notice that because children, naturally, they would like to see the adults around them. They want to be acknowledged for doing a good job, for being a good child, for being responsive. So when they are in the home environment, they actually would feel that they have other parties to keep. So besides wanting to get the acknowledgement from their teachers online, they are also aware that parents or those who live with the grandparents at home, they're aware that there are more people in their environment. So that has really affected the child in a way that the child is not himself or herself and tends to be more dependent on the adults around the child in the house. So that the child, some children, they run back and forth to their parents and back to the screen. Some of them could because they want attention. So I find that, of course, nothing can replace a real immersive environment at school.
Now, to be fair, parents are trying in their own way to help, but are they actually helping their kids, or is this hindering them from learning?
Well, what I think would be helpful for children is to give them space, to think, because education is all about creating thinkers, and the learning process has now been changed with them having more voices in their head and around them. So that does not actually help the child in being able to find answers by themselves and be independent. And at the same time, it does not provide the teachers a proper observation on how the child is actually doing, because the output is not organic from the child. It's actually from the parents' influence.
So from what we've heard and observed, it could also be that some kids can't keep up with the pace of the lesson and are left struggling. So how should parents intervene if they feel that the teacher is going too fast?
Okay, I totally understand where you're coming from, because the parents have also asked similar questions as well. The shared responsibility between parents and teachers must be very clear within the environment. So there are some reminders that we have, as an educator, I've also come up with a guideline to help parents understand their role more in depth. So one of it is the role of a parent is to be a guide, not a teacher. So it is actually a fine line to be able to know when to jump in, to tell the teacher that your child is not able to understand certain points or maybe slightly behind. I would suggest for you to encourage your child to self-advocate instead of advocating for the child. But if, let's say, because online education may be something new to most teachers as well, so sometimes teachers also need time, and maybe in a classroom online there could be quite a number of learners, and when the teacher is in the moment of teaching, there are times when the teacher actually does not see or does not, it's not very aware to the children calling out for help, or there could be audio problems and so on. Mm-hmm. So yes, the guide of a parent is still very, very important, the role of a parent, to be able to assist the child or support the child to speak out. And of course, learning online, because it's technology, the parents are the ones who are more familiar with what where the buttons are and all. So I would strongly encourage your parents to also teach the child how to use the tools that's available for them to shout out for help. You know, there are friendly buttons at a site where they can raise their hands to ask questions, or if they're given the freedom to unmute their audio and speak out. Yes, all these would be necessary tools which are very helpful, because in a regular classroom, the child can raise their hand to ask questions, but there are ways that can be, you can still do so online, but of course the child has to be taught. The role of a parent is actually as a guide, so to guide the child, and the other role of a parent is so not an answer provider. So it's if the child turns to you for attention, it could be that the child is asking for help or asking for attention. So as a parent or a guide, it is also a learning journey for you to understand your child better, whether when a child turns to you, is it to ask for attention or acknowledgement or to ask for answers. So that's when you are able to actually play a role and help the child to go through it, to give that boost of confidence for the child to self-advocate.
And you know, Eileen, the other thing is, obviously it's hard for kids to stay focused for a long period of time. So what should parents do when their kids start fidgeting, you know, they don't want to pay attention, or even if they're misbehaving?
Okay. I always believe that when a kid misbehaves, there is a reason behind it. So the kid is actually communicating something to the parents or to the teachers or to the friends online. So what I would suggest is for the parent to, okay, this is the part where the teachers can't physically go near to the child or provide the child with some support, because children, as we all know, they are multi-sensory learners by nature. So sometimes they need hugs, or they need something more than just words of comfort. Yeah. So this is when we would really see where parents' roles would be important when they come in to bring the child aside and ask the child, hey, what's happening? How are you feeling? What are you thinking about? What is it that you're not happy with? What is it that you want? Or your needs are not met. So it's about understanding what's happening with the child's emotions. Because during this period, children's emotions are also very sensitive, and sometimes we as adults may have overlooked whatever issues that the child may be having in terms of like the inability to go out, the new normal that the child had enjoyed in the past few months when it was during the RMCO period has suddenly taken away, and the child is now stuck at home, not allowed to play in the playgrounds and so on. So I would suggest for parents to always be sensitive towards the child's emotional and mental needs.
Okay. So another scenario is when kids make mistakes during lessons, and you do find some parents correcting the kids or giving them the right answer even. So what's a constructive way for parents to approach this?
Okay. I would always remind parents that your role as a parent or as a guide is not to be a problem solver for a child. And remember that the parent is not being assessed by the teacher. It's the child who is being assessed. So at the end of the day, parents, they're well-meaning parents, so they mean well. But at the end of the day, the teachers would like to see the output of the child. So if parents should encourage the child to share the answers, but if let's say the teacher the parents realizes that the answer is incorrect, give the child a chance to think twice of his or her answer, because sometimes the child may actually realize that the answer that he or she has provided may not be accurate after a while, probably after the teacher has explained something further, or after seeing some output from other friends, the child may want a second chance in providing another answer. So do not rob away the opportunity of your child's learning. Always provide your child with that space and that time to be able to make his own decision, because he will choose his answers. So at the same time, we want him to take ownership of his answers, be it whether it's correct or it's wrong, and let the child make his own corrections. If let's say the teacher does not doesn't realize that the child's answer is wrong, because sometimes the teachers do miss out as well. So that's when you could actually encourage your learner to give the answer to the teacher again after getting the teacher's attention, and let the process flow.
I mean, at the end of the day, teachers and parents are doing their best during these difficult times. What can you share as a final message to help them keep going?
I'm a believer in the African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child. So a child-centered environment is really important to raise a well-balanced child, and is even more crucial at this during this pandemic period. Let's use this illustration with a child in the center of the triangle, and on top, most of the corner, you have the parent or the child's main caregiver. And on each side of the base, you have the educator team, which consists of the child's school teachers, tuition teachers, enrichment program teachers, be it academic, non-academic subjects, or the therapies for those who are children with special needs, counselors, and so on. And the other corner, the experts in their respective fields, who are also the grandparents, well-meaning aunties and all. So these people are their support, the children's support. So I would say, parents, don't be afraid to ask for support. Your parenting journey is really unique, and at the same time, something that all parents can relate to. So most importantly, acknowledge each other or the parties in the support team. Be open with your struggles, because when you're open to communicating, you are able to share more, and the other parties who are in a position to support would be able to do so. Remember that we are here together for the children. Put aside our issues as adults. Let's work together. And I understand parents have started assuming a new role overnight, which is very crucial in a child's development. Mm-hmm. And don't give up on yourself, because many times I see that the children have not given up hope as a learner, but there are parents who have given up hope on their role as the child's guide.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Eileen. That was Eileen Ho, an educator and a parent herself. And she's really just reminding us all to just hang in there, but also reminding parents, you know, there are a lot of things that you can do right during this period of home learning. And we do have a couple of comments. We've been asking you on Twitter, what is your opinion on how parents behave during kids' virtual classes? So far, 64.4% of you say parents are really just doing their best. 32% are asking for parents to have better etiquette, please. And 3.4%, only 3.4% of you say parents are behaving well. We do have a comment here on WhatsApp, you know, from a parent whose kid is in kindergarten, and she's saying how it gets pretty messy. It's not easy on anyone involved, but some parents need to realize that their kid should be muted when they are throwing a tantrum, having a meltdown, or being a bit disruptive. Mm. There's a kid in her daughter's class who screams herself blue when she doesn't get her way, and the parents just let it happen in front of everyone on full blast. So this parent is suggesting that other parents should spare a thought for the comfort of all the other kids who are also trying to learn, and of course the parents and teachers as well.
That's something I didn't think about. Yeah.
And but on that note, I think perhaps for a more positive spin, I have seen from my experience, my son's online classes, we have a parents group chat with the teachers, and some of the parents will actually send in messages and say, like, you know, our kids not in the mood and just not sort of like up to par for a class today, throwing a bit of a tantrum. We're just going to skip the class today. And I think that's pretty considerate,
yes,
to
yeah.
be honest. And so I think there are good and bad examples. And I know everyone is just struggling. So am I. And maybe these little things can serve as a reminder.
Absolutely. So, you know, do continue to let us know. We are running out of time. But if you want to share your experiences with us, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or drop us a message on Facebook. We are BFM The Bigger Picture. Now, coming up after the break, coming up after the 3 p.m. news, rather, Juliet Jacobs will be speaking to a teacher, actually, who has been getting quite a lot of attention because he's been named as one of the top 10 finalists of the Global Teacher Prize 2020. And that's, of course, Samuel Isaiah. So stay tuned for that. And speaking of young people doing interesting things, a quick heads up on some interesting programming coming your way, especially if you want insights into how young Malaysians plan to shape the future. So find out what the youth really want from Budget 2021 and what their hopes are for a better Malaysia. Tune in to our coverage of the Selangor Youth Community's recent outreach program on I Love KL tomorrow at 9 p.m. That's brought to you by Masing Reinvent Spaces, Enhance Life. That's it from us on the Daily Digest today. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.